Thanks for joining us for today's episode. But before we start the show, just a quick reminder that in addition to our podcast feed, we also sponsor events in physical places like live podcasts, panel discussions, and programs featuring art, music, film, and other such mediums. And we also host live events online where listeners are welcome to join in. Check out our website to see if we have any live events coming up to a place near you or any virtual events you can join in as well. Or maybe you have an idea for collaboration. Feel free to get in touch with us and share your thoughts. But for now, let's get into the show.
My name is Sojo Linke. I'm originally from Korean State. Right now, I'm doing research fellow at Cornell Adenauer Stiftung. And it's been a year and 3 months I've been doing the research fellow. And my research focus is mainly focused on Myanmar issue. But I'm trying to connect with European policy because you know I'm doing research fellow, so a German organization told me trying to counter with I can only do just only focus on Myanmar. They asked me to counter with a European and also a German international affairs kind of thing. So I'm trying to do research, but I'm mainly focused on Myanmar issue.
So we're speaking in Berlin, and your background is obviously in Myanmar, particularly the Karen, but now here in Berlin, involved in European politics, you're moving into contrasting the Myanmar political situation with what you find in Europe. So there's a lot of interesting material there, but before we get into what you're doing now in Europe, let's go back to what your research was on the ground in Myanmar. So talk about your areas of interest and what you were studying back home before you came over here.
Before I came to here, I worked as a senior researcher in local think tank organization. I don't want to mention the organization name because it's risky now. But after military coup, I went back to my current state, my hometown, and other time I do a lot of research relating to current political situation in Myanmar, and also an immigration issue, and also refugee issue. I went to KNU control area, a very low profile, and also I also use a lot of strategy to pass the military checkpoint. At that time, I'm more focused on before the military coup, I'm focused on security issue and also ethnic politics. But after the military coup, I'm more focused on an IDB issue, and also like ethnic politics. But you know, when I came to Germany, I found that European countries are also struggling with their politics. You know, right now, the right wing parties are rising, and they are gaining more in like election. Not only in Germany, you can see it in Netherlands, also in other countries. So, even though I'm trying to advocate Myanmar issue, but you know, for European politicians, they just more focus on most people do not know about Myanmar issue, but some people know about a general situation in Myanmar, but they don't know much about Myanmar. So that is the thing I'm struggling right now. I'm trying to advocate as much as I can, but you know, they have in their concept, you know, they want to make a dialogue between the different group. I mean, military and ethnic group, and also resistant government energy. In their mindset, they thought it's very easy for them, but actually, you know, it is Myanmar politics right now. The conflict situation is more complicated than they thought. And also in their mindset, you know, right now our resistance group are struggling, not only just get back the power to the elected government. We are struggling to take over the military, and also to pull out military from our politics. Military have to do their only duty, their own duty, protest just only borders. For the European politician, I found that they just want to get back the situation 2010 to 2020, before the military coup situation. So, but our current Myanmar political situation have changed a lot. You know, we couldn't come back to that kind of situation because of Gen Z want more than Gen Z know more about political right now, and they trying to get not only negative peace, they want positive peace and also sustainable positive peace. So that is the thing I'm struggling in with the European politician. I'm from Karen ethnic background, so, and also I have a personal relation with the ethnic political party, and also ethnic resistant organization. I will use ethnic resistant organization because I don't want to use ethnic organization. Yeah, I also have a connection with them. And I also involved in state constitutional drafting team. So you know, even though I focus on ethnic issue, but I'm more deeply familiar with current politics.
Right. So then let's talk about some of your work before you came to Germany, because both before the coup and after the coup, you have become something of an expert of PNU and Karen politics. So share with us what you've learned to our audience who may have varying degrees of understanding about the KNU.
You know, since the KNU decided to join in peace dialogue, they trying to negotiate, and they also lead in the peace dialogue. But you know, they found that It wasn't possible to get their goal if they are going to like if they are going in like the way in 20 from 2015 to like to 2020 because they drop off from the peace dialogue because but right now you know I think military KNU trying to use like all the possible way they right now like before the military coup they are doing like their goal in peace dialogue but after the military coup they use like all the possible way they have like a personal like a relation and also like a diplomatics and also like like public relation and also like a political things I found that they think all the possible way they are very they are for me they are very like a professional and they trying to use all the kind of the possible way because they have learned a lot from the history right now you know like many ethnic are talking about like a federation and confederation very like a sensitive topics in the like not only in ethnic and also in like a Myanmar politics you know like many people are also like talking about it but I think KNU also like KNU like more focus on federal that is just my personal part of you more focus on like a federal but I think and they are also like thinking about they also prepare for the we don't know what we have in the future you know like they also like thinking about their old situation right now they are trying to empower their local government they are giving like a trainings to the local administrator and also from state level and also like a township level they are also giving training a lot right now I found that KNU is trying like to be more systematic to their local governance that is the thing I found very clearly after the military coup. Yeah.
So you're saying that the Karen are focused on this issue of local public governance in the areas that they control. Is that something that they were doing to the same extent before the coup as well, or is that a new development?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good question. I think that is just my experience because like when I work with Warway Karen Youth organization and also like some like a local administrator I found that the since before the military coup they have like they have to be like more skillful they also claiming a lot but they have that kind of the training before of the military coup but after the military coup I think can you do like a more focus on that kind of the trainings to empower their local administration and also so they also like more talk about local governance because in federal they went like now top down federalism they went like a bottom up federalism that's why I think that kind of the bottom up federalism came out after the military coup I think if I'm not wrong so I KNU also trying to like one bottom up federalism so they after the military coup they give more training and they trying to more to empower their local administration yeah
So we know that these ethnic organizations are not monolith. There's different opinions. There could be splits in terms of ideology, direction, ego sometimes.
Yeah.
And certainly in a time of conflict and crisis, this can come out more so.
Mm-hmm. Different ethnic organizations have their own agenda and their own policy. But I can say one thing that they can negotiate it because in their mindset, they want. I believe that it's not much different. Their goals within the ethnic organization, within the KNU leader, there is not much gap between the leadership. I think the gap between is like KNU leaders and the current youth. After the military coup, even though many current they are not satisfying with what KNU is doing, because they want current you want beyond the federal, but KNU leader might have their own agenda, but I didn't see that. But in meeting, I found that the current you are not satisfying with what the KNU is doing. They went beyond the federal, so I found that kind of the gap between the leadership role and the current expectation.
They wanted beyond federalism. What does that mean?
Yeah, that's a good question. The grand you part out the situation in Arakan state. They also in Arakan state, claim to they want to get a confederation. So current you also inspired a lot by that, I think. So they also want confederation, more than federal. I also found that. But and also the youth are also they also work together with KNU a lot. But I think some youth have that kind of the concept. According to your question, I found that the gap between is not all the youth, but some of the youth have more expectation than federation, especially the youth in there are also many current youth outside of the country, current youth are also living in US and also Canada and also in other countries. They have more that kind of the expectation more than that you live in the country. I found that.
Right. And I think that's what we're seeing across all different ethnics and Bamar as well, that that there is this generation gap between the youth and the elders and what they want and their aspirations.
Mm-hmm. I think there is always happen in different generation, they have I also talk with some leaders. I also found that they also want that kind of the things, but I'm also a youth, so I just only learned the history from the book, but the leaders learn from their experience. So this is the gap between the two generations.
Right. And how would you describe the relationship between the KNU and the NUG?
I think they have good relationship because Because, you know, like since the military coup, many NUG members are also still living in KNU control area, and also they also have office in KNU control area. They have strong relationship, but you know, in political things, like they might have like I don't want to say disagreement. They might have something to discuss more. I can only say that because I that is just I found my personal observation.
Now, one area that the military has been able to exploit very effectively in previous years is the split between the Buddhists and the Christians among the Karen community. And that's what led famously in 95 to the fall of Manirpla. And so post-coup, what are you seeing of the Karen Buddhist and Karen Christian relations?
That is really good question because, you know, like, can you use this strategy to weaken the KNU? So KNU have learned a lot about it, and also like I want to talk more in current society. I think not much difference between like the before the military coup and military coup, because our military targets not only like a Christian, not only Buddhist, they target all the people, all the civilians. So I do not find like a much difference between the military coup and after the military coup. I didn't find much difference between like the two society, like KNU and also like a DKBA and also like a BGR. DKBA and BGS are like a more Buddhist organization. So you know, like even though like that kind of the difference between them, like they have learned a lot. So like they have like relationship between these groups, because they are also a community. They are trying to like unite again these current ethnic M groups. So yeah, they have a kind of the relationship between like Buddhist based organization and KNU. I think they have that kind of the relationship, but not much. Yeah. So my research is like a focus on like an ethnic issue in Myanmar, and also like a civil military relation before before the military coup. So you know, like I know more about our ethnic politics situation because after the military coup, I went back to my hometown and I worked closely with my ethnic people. And also, I mean, not only the leader, I also work closely with Karen youth. So I know like more or like from my experience working with them. So like Karen youth are also very like a motivator. They also want to have to KNU. Like in Karen community, Karen youth community, there are also many Karen youth are studying outside of the country, like in China and also in US and also in other like country. They are also so like organizing a group as like we call technical team to support KNU. So you know, that kind of the community it happened again after the military coup. So you know, I think like the youth from the outside of the country are also more united, and they want to support and have to to our ethnic organization, AMI-KNU. Yeah. After the military school, I did a research about national identity. In my research, I found that the concept of the youth with their politics change a lot. They know a lot about the military. They know very well about ethnic situation. They are more knowledge. Yeah, about the our national identity situation. I mean, right. If we define national identity, it is many academies trying to focus on many things. But here, national identity, I want to focus more ethnic and Burmese. Situation. It's changed a lot. And also Burmese still also have learned a lot after the military coup. So they empathize to the ethnic situation. And also I think they are more open-minded now. And they sympathize ethnic people situation. So in the future, according to my research, I found that in the future, if we took over the military and I come back and discuss about our state building and nation building, I have a lot of positive on our future nation or our future state or nation. I'm very positive
based on what you saw in the research. Right, great. So let's get into your time here in Germany and looking at German politics and European politics. What has stood out for you?
Right now, German politics are coming to right wing, and also AfD is they win more in the next election. I also found that, it also affects to our people, because some people are trying to come to not only Germany to Europe, because right now US is straight with immigration policy. So many Burmese people are also trying to come to Europe. According to the European politics, they also trying to strict with their visa and also immigration in situation, and also visa that they are more strict. They are more strict, and also some of the people who involved in the political movement, they trying to get asylum here, but in this government term, when I read their policy, they were more strict with asylum situation here. So I think in the future it will be more strict, I think they were only more focused on their politics. They do not have much interest in Myanmar situation.
So when you look at what's happening in Myanmar, and then you look at the wider region, and you've referenced American and European developments. Do you see any global trends that you can, within your analysis and in these disparate places, are there any global trends that come to mind as you analyze that?
I found one thing that autocracy is becoming more right now. Because even though like in US, mm-hmm. you know, like Trump is doing like a more a kind of like I'm not very like a professional in that, but I found that he also doing like autocratic things, and also so you know in like Russia and also like North Korea and also China, they are also more united. I think so. Like in this year, I found that in global 10, I found that like autocracy is stronger and they are more united. I found that. Yeah, but like in democracy within the democracy country, you know, they have like a lot of disagreement, and also they also struggle a lot with immigrant. An issue, and they have like a different opinion. They also struggle a lot. They are politics. I found that, but on the other hand, autocracy are more united and they are stronger. And you can see that in Russia, that you know, fighting between Russia and Ukraine, North Korea are also helping them. And so, I think in global 10, autocracy is stronger. In this year, I found that. That also I worry for Myanmar, because like me online and Russia like Putin also right now they have more relationship right now, so they also I read yesterday that they have like agreements and not to the punish or something punish again they between the country have to like have to support each other, that kind of the thing I found out. So like in global 10, autocracy are stronger and democracy is weaker, I think.
So you've been in Berlin now almost a year and a half, and in this time you've gotten to know a lot about German politics and made some German friends. How would you describe the German feeling right now towards their democracy and politics? Is there anxiety? Is there a feeling of safety, of security? How would you describe how they're feeling about the state of their democracy?
That's a good question. Because I also have like some German friends. I also asked them, what do you feel about like election results? And also, so I found maybe most of my friends are from like a left wings, because I'm more liberal. So like the community I stay is like in the left wing group. I think they also worry about their democracy, because AfD is winning. And also they also found that that is very dangerous for their democracy. On the other hand, and they also worry for immigrants, because you know, German economies me, and also they need a lot of work human resources. Also, like most of human resources they got are from the immigrants. So the left-wing people are also worried with their current government policy. I found that, yeah, they do worry about their democracy, and also they also sympathize to immigrants.
And of course, even though it happened some time ago, history plays in different timelines in people's mind. And Germany, of course, is the country that had the Nazi regime, and that this is a shadow that still looms over the psyche and the politics. So how much in your conversations with your German friends and colleagues do you find the shadow of this Nazi regime still hanging over how they look at modern democracy?
Yeah. But as I told you, most of my friends are from left wing, so they don't like Nazi to be stronger than kind of the Nazi ideology again. And they do worry though, but in my community, I don't see like anyone who support Nazi.
But is there a fear of that? Is it brought up? Is the example in people's minds?
But when I went to other cities, I found you know, my appearance is very different with them. So like I can feel that some people like don't like in like a foreigner because maybe my friend said that, for example, in Leipzig, you know, Leipzig is a city like a Nazi is like people are more sport to Nazi right now. I might be wrong, but that is I got information from my friend, so he said that. So I found that when I went to the city, people are not welcome to foreigner. I can feel that like they don't like the they don't like foreigner from their faces. I see that. So like I think in Berlin, because Berlin is very diverse and also very open-minded cities, I see that. But like in other cities, I think that kind of the right wing is maybe stronger. That's why they got like AFD got a lot of vote from the cities. And also in a session, I also mentioned that like Germany and also Europeans should support more humanitarian support, or because like some kind of the like humanitarian support from the like military is not supportive, and also it shouldn't be from that way. It should be like a very like a grounded area, because of many organizations are also doing so. They also show more focus on that kind of the organization, and also they also show support to the resistant government, because they shouldn't support to the coming election, because that is not legitimate election, and also like military control like just a part of the country. There are also many territory are controlled by the ethnic group, so like it is impossible to do election in that kind of the region. So even though if they do the election, like the European and also Germany shouldn't like a sport, and they should more work with energy and also ethnic organization. I'm part out more in my research paper. Because I don't know much about like their policy. I'm more like a machine on the what is happening in the ground, and also in the political area, and also within the resistance group. So I'm part out more of that, and I'm trying to give like a recommendations to the organizations.
What do you feel about German policy or engagement towards Myanmar since the coup?
Germany, I think Germany and European, they more support on humanitarian support, but like in other like support, I didn't see that. They just only more focus on humanitarian support, and I found that they have that kind of the concept that they are not supporting to the M groups. They have that kind of they might have that kind of the policy, so and they only more focus on humanitarian support.
Have you explored the influence that Theravada Buddhism has had in shaping the country of Myanmar and the politics, and I wonder your thoughts on that.
Since since the independence, they're trying to shape the country as Buddhism country, and also they are also that's why many clashes also between the ethnic and the Buddhist group. But after the military coup, I think many people have are more aware I forgot the words. They are more aware with they also found that in other country, secular states. I mean, many youth have aware with the secular state, a state concept. So in the future, I think it maybe many people still might have that kind of that concept, but it may be more flexible in the future. Not really they cannot shape the country with that kind of Buddhism, I think.
Right. Now, working here in Berlin as a visiting fellow, as you've been, I'm curious how engaging with global academic and peace-building communities here has shaped your approach to Myanmar's challenges now that there's some distance between you and what's on the ground.
Since I've been here, I'm joining some academic conference, and also I found that many people, many academics, maybe it's depend on the event. I found that many academics only more focus on China. If I talk with if I talk our country situation connect with the China, they are more interested in my conversation. But if I talk only about what is happening in Myanmar, they are not much interested. So I think in their mindset, they are more focused on China is a big issue for them, and also right now Russia and Ukraine issue, and also US, they also talk about that a lot because it is directly US election at that time, before the US election, the election results will be directly related to their country situation. So they are more interested in US, China, and Russia, Ukraine. So I didn't have much space to talk about our country situation. Yeah, but if I connect with China, I can see their eyes are brighter. So, yeah, I also use that kind of strategy sometimes.
Right. And going back to your work with ethnic armed groups during the national dialogue, that was 2016 to 2017, so some time ago you were involved in.
Yeah.
What lessons from that do you think can be applied to current efforts to unify Myanmar's ethnic communities?
In the dialogue, I found that security issue is a big issue. It also blocked the dialogue. So I think in the future, they also have to talk more with the security issue. Right now, not only non-traditional security groups, but also right now there are a lot of local PDS and also other many groups. So they have to discuss a lot about when they took over the military, they have to talk a lot about that, and they also have to do more about security reform. I think in the future dialogue, there will be a security issue will be also a big issue between the ethnic groups and also NUG and also other Burmese group and political parties. It will still be a big issue. Security issue is a big issue.
Right. Yeah. I want to go back earlier to your origins, because you grew up in Pa'an. You grew up during Myanmar's conflict. I mean, the conflict has been going on for some time. You know, it stretches back many years. But I'm curious if you could describe how your Karen heritage and background came to shape your perspective on peace and conflict.
That's a good question. I have to like a counter with my my background. When I was studying in university, I got a chance to join in the documentation, like I was just doing in KNU headquarters, like for national dialogue. So I learned Karen politics from that kind of the dialogue, and also from the leader. So I have I'm also from ethnic background, so I'm more like a bias. Maybe I'm biased on ethnic people. I also found that if we have to solve this country problem, not only took over the military is not enough. We have to solve like a very rooted ethnic problems. I think there is also energy also have to very careful about it and have to much aware about it, I think. And not only like KNU, I also international community also have to think about it, because like for the international community, they only know more like energy and like a military, like a bad Myanmar conflict is ethnic conflict, not only military.
Sure. Yeah. Can you remember a moment from your early life in Karen that inspired you on this path to want to work towards peace building and research?
When I went to like KNU, you know, I found that one leader said that at that time because like we are trying to raise our flag, the roads is very heavy, so like we are like trying to control it. At that time, one leader said, you are just only like doing this for just a few minutes. We have been trying to raise our flag for many years, and also for our life. That work is very much like remind me what I have to do for our ethnic people.
Yeah,
that also. One thing I'm more like it's a kind of, this is not only my interest, it's also my duty. So after that, I decided I don't want to take M, but I want to do like a more like maybe like more academic things, because research is more academic. So like okay. I will do. I will not take them. I will do sport. Like at that time, peace project is going on. So, I will do like in politic research, and I will sport to our ethnic people to get our right back. So at that time, I decided, I switched my career from engineering to political research.
So, how has that been?
It was very difficult for me, you know, because I switched my career. I graduated with engineering, switched my career to political research. So like I've learned a lot. I start from like I read a lot of like the history book, what happened in like since independence, because the political history a lot happened since the independence. So I read a lot of the book, and also I want to do research, so I also learned research methodology. And also at that time, you know, when I joined, when I do research, at that time research is not a popular work. Just only like a few people do like a research at that time. So to survive myself is also very challenging at that time. I also feel insecurity because, you know, like if I'm not successful in this research, I couldn't go back to to engineer. I also don't want to go back. So like I have to survive here. Like I have to do it more. So I work a lot, and also I've learned a lot. So it was very difficult for me to get in this position.
And now you were also involved before with the U.S. Ambassador Youth Council and the Global Peace Chain, which this is highlighting the power of youth activism. And so looking, that was back then when during the transition period you were doing this kind of work. But now looking today, how do you think young leaders in Myanmar can drive change amid this current crisis that we're in?
You know, after the military coup, like many Gen Zs also like they use like their technical skill, not only like a political concept, they also so use their like IT skill, and also so their engineering skill, and also like some work from the health background. So I think many youth are interested in politics, and also they work a lot for to win in this spring revolution. When I was in the US youth council, you know, at that time most youth do not interest a lot about politics. So now youth are more aware about politics, and also they put all their passion and also all their skills to win this spring revolution, I think.
Right. So I thank you so much for your time here. And just, we have one question as we close, and that's, looking forward, what steps do you believe are essential for Myanmar to achieve a sustainable peace and an inclusive governance?
We have to be open-minded. We have to learn from each other. We have to discuss a lot about our common goal, because you know, it is very important to get like a sustainable peace. And also within the group, I mean, not only like the policy maker, I mean like also all the civilian shouldn't neglect about like a ethnic politics, a situation, and also without resolve the ethnic conflict, we cannot solve the country problem, and also we will not get sustainable peace without resolving the problem. This current problem is not only military problem. I mean, it is, we have to solve a lot of like a rooted conflict. Yeah, it might take time, but we have to passionate to solve it, and we have to open minded between each other. Yeah, I think it is very important for For all the Myanmar people. Yeah, I think. Yeah.
I hope you enjoyed today's interesting interview. But before signing off, I'd like to acquaint you with Better Burma's online shop, where we feature beautiful handmade crafts from artisans across Myanmar. These aren't mass-produced items. They're unique, one-of-a-kind pieces that showcases the country's rich heritage and tradition. Since the coup, many skilled craftspeople have lost their livelihoods altogether and are struggling just to support their families. And so by shopping with us, you're not just buying something special, you're also helping to provide these artisans with a chance to rebuild their lives and support their families. Part of every purchase also supports Better Burma's ongoing humanitarian mission. So we invite you, take a moment to browse the collection at betterburma.org/shop. And as always, you can support our work through a direct donation at insightmyanmar.org/donation.
Yarananda, 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 Yarananda,